Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's a, what's the opposite of a victory Monday?
Victory Friday?
No, a lot. Never. Anyway, the Bears lost. They are no longer in first place in the NFC North. They took the North. They weren't going to give it back. They already gave it back. So with me to talk about their exciting, perfunctory game against the New York Giants, and look ahead to a thrilling, I'm sure, trip to Minneapolis. Is Mike, actor, comedian Mike Pusateri. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I just want to point out, I appreciate how you welcome people back to the podcast. Most podcasts, they say, welcome in to the podcast.
It makes no sense. This is like episode 229.
Well, you've always done it, but I'm noticing more and more. Anytime someone says, welcome into the podcast,
These are like our family. They've been here for all of them. I would think 99% of the listeners, of the millions of listeners, have listened to every single episode before.
I would certainly expect so.
So, pointlessexercise.com for the newsletter, for the podcast, for more swag than you can shake a stick at, and the way you shake a stick at it. And Mike, where do you update people on all of your exciting happenings out there in Los Angeles?
Out here in La La Land, people can follow me on Twitter at Mike Pusateri, and on Instagram at I am Mike Pusateri.
So I am enjoying a lovely, this sounds like a plug, unfortunately it's not a plug. Although, if they want me to plug it, I would take cash money. So there is a brewery in Rockford, Illinois, beautiful Rockford, Illinois, called the Carlisle Brewing. It was like the first one. They opened, maybe it even says on here, over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they make the best beer certainly in the state.
Okay.
They make a vanilla cream ale, which they now... Mm. You can now buy. You could always get growlers. Now you can get cans. You go in. I did this the other day. I went in. It's like I'm gonna get some cans of that. So you go in, you order it, and while you sit there and drink a beer, the bartender cans the beer for you.
Ooh!
She does it right in front of you.
Wow!
That's how fresh it is.
My goodness!
They closed right after the pandemic. They came back and they said, "Ah, fuck it, we're done." And everyone was depressed. And then all of a sudden, like 6 months later, on Facebook, they're like, you know what? We're coming back.
Well, good for them.
They came back. When we first was there, it was all beer. They made some, maybe you'd get a sandwich. They had some chips. Then they started making pizza. That's good pizza. And now they still have pizza, but it's basically, if you want a pizza, we'll give you the pizza. Go bake it yourself. take it home. Bring it back if you want, but we're not cooking it here.
We're not wasting our ovens on you bastards.
It's pretty much exactly what they did. So
yeah,
but they're back, so that's good.
Good.
So the Bears and the Giants, were both 2-1. No one believed it. No, after watching 3 hours of them try to play football, somebody had to be 3-1, and it got to be the Giants.
Yeah, undeserved.
Giants, whose offense consisted of. We'll run Saquon this way. Then on the next play, we'll pretend to run the Saquon this way, and everyone will chase him. And then little Daniel Jones will just skitter over this way and get and gain lots of yards, but get hit a lot. And then at some point, Daniel's like, "Oh, my ankle is the size of a balloon." So then they brought in Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
And then they ran the same shit, and it worked. And I thought Moose Johnston. For those of you who don't know which Moose I'm referring.
Formerly of Kenny Moose and Goose.
That's right.
Yep.
Only two of those are alive. And actually, when you listen to Moose, maybe just one. He talked about how the one of the things the Giants did smartly is that their backup quarterback has basically the same skills as their starting quarterback. So if you're going to try to run Daniel Jones a lot, which they do, if you need to go to the backup, you're not bringing in, like, you know, Joe Flacco, who can't do any of that.
Right.
So then Tyrod, he ran a few, and then he got hit in the head real hard. and had to go to the blue shent. Oh, it's a tent, but yeah. I like call it a shent because I mispronounce things. The blue tent of shame. And they didn't have a quarterback. So Saquon just played quarterback.
Yeah.
And it worked for three plays. And then
they were close to running the T formation almost.
Yes. It worked for a few plays, and the Bears were like, all right, we got this shit figured out. I did enjoy the fact that Daniel Jones was on the field, could barely move, was lining up as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And apparently the reason he was out there was he, without Tyrod, he's the only player left who had the communicator in his helmet. And because Mike Kafka, their offensive coordinator, is in the booth, they needed somebody on the field who could hear the play. That seems like a flawed system.
That's a 2022 NFL in a nutshell.
Yes. And did you know, I knew this, it's not as simple as, all right, just Saquon, put Daniel's helmet on. You are not allowed to wear anyone else's helmet because your helmet is fitted to your head. In fact, the reason that teams are so excited about their getting to use their alternate helmets this year for the first time is that this is the first year the NFL has approved a second helmet for a player.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be like the reason that the Bears, all their helmets, their original throwbacks, they just took the C's off. Then they have the flying V ones that they wore the other day. But you notice they were still navy because they had to use the same helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you get an orange helmet, you can have a second one. But the rule still exists, and so it wasn't as simple as just saying, all right, somebody needs to wear the quarterback helmet so you can hear the plays. If you don't have your two quarterbacks in the game, either one of them, you have to bring in plays the old-fashioned way.
With Brian Bashnagel running them in from the sidelines.
Yep.
Yeah,
and alternate either like wide receivers or tight ends. In fact, that was why in the glory days, you all those shots of like Ditka screaming at Emory Moorhead, grabbing him by the face mask. He wasn't really mad at Emory. Emory was just the poor sucker who had to bring the next play in. And
he was a messenger.
Basically yelling at the quarterback through Emory.
Right. But it's always bizarre that NFL teams these days only have two quarterbacks. I mean, when we were growing up, they always had three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And now in this era of concussions and safety and just guys being bigger, stronger, and faster, you would think, if anything, you'd have more quarterbacks, not less.
Well, and
you only have two.
I don't know what happened to the emergency quarterback. You used to have the third guy was dressed, but he could only play. If you put him in, the other two couldn't come back in.
Right.
Basically, it was, all right, this is the guy's designated your third quarterback. He doesn't count against your 47 men. But if you bring him in, the other two are done. They can't come back in. In other words, it better be a real emergency if you're going to bring this guy in.
Yeah, exactly.
And I apparently don't do that anymore.
Which is certainly not for safety reasons they don't do that. It makes no sense. Why would you not do that?
I think they did it because they were like, oh, I'm tired of looking at Tyler Bray in his uniform. No, he's got to make him wear a sweatshirt and a hat. I don't want to look at that.
Yeah. Right. One less uniform we got to wash.
Yeah, it was probably the the equipment men wrote a letter to the, like, God, guys, that's a lot. You wouldn't believe how, even though they don't play, you wouldn't believe how dirty they can get those white pants.
Especially for the one guy was carted off the poop, speaking of white pants.
Yeah, that's right. And the best part of that was, so if people don't know, in the very exciting Lions-Seahawks game, which I believe ended up 48-45, first NFL game ever to finish at 48-45. So scoregami. DK Metcalf was carted from the sidelines. You know, gotta take him into the locker room. Must be something wrong with DK.
Yeah.
And then word got out that DK had to poop. And was pretty sure he wasn't going to make it all the way. Like, apparently in Ford Field, the visiting locker room is quite a ways from the field. And DK basically hitched a ride so he could go take a dump, and then they drove him back, and then he came back in the game. He was not injured, but the best part was after the game, DK tweeted out, because somebody tweeted it, that they showed a picture of him on the cart, and he's like, he goes, the clinch walk was not going to work. this is pretty cool. I like the fact that he just embraced it.
I love that. You imagine he's like walking halfway down the sideline, just like, you know that feeling, like, oh no.
It cuts.
Can you send a card for what? Why I need the bet? Well, just I can't walk there, coach. All right. Oh, we've all had that feeling, especially like when you have to go and you're right coming right up to your door, your front door, and then it get really intensifies.
Not to go all poop talk, but yeah, there's a. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who's experienced this weird phenomenon. When you really have to go and you can keep it under control, the minute you hover above the toilet, your bowels are like, we made it. All right, here it goes.
Release the hounds.
You can barely get the pants down in time. It's like, all right, oh, good, you're here.
Like, kicking your shorts all over the bathroom. Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks.
That's enough. That's enough poop talk for this week. Not to be skeptical or anything, but J.J. Watt tweeted. I had an emotional tweet yesterday, basically saying news about this. I have learned that news about this is going to be reported today. So I'm going to tell you that I went into AFib or whatever. He had his heart shocked back into order. On Wednesday,
yeah, like 2 days ago before the game.
He's playing on Sunday. And I looked at that tweet knowing that JJ and his brothers, if there's a camera, they will find it. I'm thinking, yeah. He tweeted that because that was his way of letting us all know. Like, the Cardinals were going to know. It was like, look at what a tough SOB I am. They had to fix my heart on Wednesday, and I'm playing today. It's like, yeah, all right, JJ, whatever.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't want to, you know. Just like when TJ tore his pec.
Yeah.
He basically stopped almost in front of the CBS camera. He was pointing at it. I tore my pec.
But all this comes on the heels of the Tua incident, of course. So this is, you know, the NFL is under quite a bit, deservedly so, under quite a bit of scrutiny for their handling of these concussions.
Well, and the Tyrod thing was apparently a concussion.
Yeah.
And he was sprinting to the locker room for. Why?
And did he have to poop too? No, let's not speculate.
Well, the Giants had the guy who had just had the appendectomy.
Oh yeah, right.
And then he got hurt. Laying there holding his side. I thought maybe his appendix grew back, or maybe he just ripped all his stitches out. He's just going to bleed all over the field.
Yeah. Ugh. What going on?
So the Bears.
Bears.
Which I guess is what we're supposed to talk about.
Oh, yeah, right.
Have you noticed that today, I was mean to him last week, but I try to acknowledge, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I try to acknowledge that Sam Mustipher is playing. Sam is an undrafted free agent who's the backup center who's playing. It's not like they went out, and in fact, they tried to sign Lucas Patrick to play center, and then he bent all his fingers the wrong way, and he still can't snap the ball, so we got Sam.
Which is important for a center to be able to snap the ball.
Although, honestly, can't he just – by now, he should have been he could have been doing it left-handed enough that he'd be good at it.
Good point.
Yeah. Sam, apparently, Bears Twitter has decided Sam's the – he's the whole problem with the offense.
He's the villain.
Yep. Sam was for – Some guy, very predictably, it's an amusing joke, but pretty obvious. He tweeted enough mean things at Sam that Sam blocked him, and then he took a screenshot of it and goes, I'm the first person Sam Mustipher's blocked this year. they got more problems than just that. But yeah, it's not – they looked at that line and said, okay, we need a better center, and they went out and they got one, and they haven't been able to play him at that spot yet. It's not like they were just, you know, like, oh, no, Sam's great.
Right.
This is not all on poor little Sam.
No, that'd be a little bit silly to blame Sam Mustipher for all the problems.
Yeah. Cody Whitehair hurt his knee, so he's out for. Well, he's day to day because everybody's day to day with the flus. He's dead. Well, he's day to day. Well, there's no tomorrow, so he's just day.
Cross him off the list then.
He's not day to day. He's just day. So you're gonna get more Sam. Because Luke Patrick has to play left guard now for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
But the Bears offense, first drive, it was a really nice, like, 18-yard pass from Justin Fields to Darnell Mooney.
Gorgeous pass, by the way.
Second drive, unbelievable. I didn't think it was legal. 56 yards in the air from Justin Fields to Darnell Mooney. That was about it for the offense, but there were signs. So my take in the fabulous Pointless Exercise newsletter that came out this morning.
Yes, very enjoyable, by the way.
I felt like it was apparent to me as a guy who played high school football. I mean, come on. I played a year of junior tackle, and I played high school, so I know all this stuff.
Yes.
Really seemed to me like Justin was getting harassed last week, rightly so, for just not throwing the ball sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He was the opposite of that, I thought, on Sunday. He was decisive. He was, yeah. Oh, here we go, I'm throwing. Oh, but I also thought he was decisive in a way that could be detrimental to his how ambulatory he's going to be going forward, in that he would drop back, feel a little pressure, and he's like, fuck it. He just takes off.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that may have been part of the thought process. I'm making decisions this week. Here we go. Well, you kind of like to see him when the pocket gets, maybe doesn't completely collapse. It just kind of caves in on one side.
Yeah.
Move and then try to see if there's a play to be made down the field still.
The problem that he has is that the line is so inconsistent. There were plenty of times on Sunday when the line gave him good protection, but then there are other times it was just a jailbreak. And yeah. So if you're him, you have no idea when you're back in the pocket, am I going to have time or going to be running for my life in 0.8 seconds, you know? And it's really hard to get into a rhythm and do that when that line is just so inconsistent. I mean, I guess it's good. It's not horrible all the time. Sometimes it's actually decent, but that's tough.
It seemed to be the left-hand side of the line had most of the problems on Sunday. Braxton Jones did not have a terribly good game. And then...
I thought he was automatically going into the Hall of Fame. No, that's probably not going
to
happen.
No, he's going to... It might have to wait a year or two.
Yeah.
Someone said, I think it was Adam Hoge, that Tevin Jenkins, who ended up getting to play most of the game because they had to move Patrick over to the other guard, did not allow a single quarterback pressure during the pass plays he was in. And I haven't broke down the film yet. I've graded everybody. God, I love assholes do that. I mean, it's bad enough when sports writers do it, but you get callers into sports radio. I haven't graded the film yet. No, you don't. Why are you doing that? Don't do that.
Hey, Cap, I got to grade the film. Shut up.
Yeah.
How about you shut up?
I did notice Larry Borum really only on one play. That was a 2-minute warning. Game. Everybody goes commercials. They come back. Larry goes offsides, which is
classic. Just a classic.
A classy homage to the Matt Nagy, the entire Matt Nagy era.
It's like, we're thinking of you, Matt. Love you, pal.
Every timeout should be followed immediately by a penalty.
It's uncanny. A tradition unlike any other.
I also thought it was a little alarming when that 2-minute warning happened in the first half, when the Bears seemed completely surprised by it.
Wait.
Whistles there's a blow, and they're all looking around like, God, who's the penalty on this time? Like, oh, it's 2-minute warning. Oh, there's a clock. Yeah, it's on. It's in multiple places around here, guys. You can see it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was two. I thought it was 2 o'clock. No, it's.
Well, maybe they haven't covered the 2-minute warning yet in the meetings. Like they clearly, as you pointed out, must not have covered the fact that a touchback comes out to the 25.
Yeah, that goes back to every regime. Since the rule changed, it's amazing. Well,
yeah, Cordarrelle raised it to an art form last year.
Yes,
but
he did. Yeah. I get it. That whole last year was like, all right, our best chance of scoring is for Cordarrelle to run this back. It's like, oh, come on, guys. It's the 25. We never get to start there.
Never.
Maybe you don't think the TN hits is for touchback? You haven't covered that yet?
I don't think they've gotten to it yet. No. No. So So all the talk has been. It certainly seems that this coaching staff does not trust Justin Fields. We also should remember Luke Getsy is a first-year play caller in the NFL, which is maybe not ideal, but he is. But clearly, you know, what was odd to me is the four field goals, because why are we, if we're not taking chances on some of these plays in the red zone this year, what are we doing? And I don't know. What is your take on this with the coaching staff and Fields and their confidence in them? And we talk about this every week, and we're going to, I'm sure, talk about it every week from now on. But
they had the one stretch going into this game where they ran 19 consecutive plays in the red zone were runs.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many of those ended up in touchdowns. There was at least a couple of plays where they ran the ball three times, and on the third run, Khalil scored.
Right.
I think as much as it annoys people that they basically look at it as, I think they still think their best chance of moving the ball is running it. And I think if they get a fourth and short in the red zone, they're going to kick, just because their whole thing is just keep the game close. We'll try to, they should have had the ball with a chance to tie the game. Actually, two possessions at the end of the game with a chance to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of it worked.
They did. They had the ball with 5.5 minutes to go, down 8, right? But you knew that was an insurmountable lead that the Giants had at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I thought at the very least the Bears were probably going to have to somehow miraculously score twice.
Yeah.
Even if they got the touchdown, the odds of them running a successful two-point conversion are pretty long.
Not good.
Sorry, we're going to get 6 this time, and then we'll get 3 later, and then we'll win. We'll win by a point. It'll be fine.
Right.
I don't know. I haven't looked back to see, how many of those runs were going to be passes at some point. Because we still get a lot of those. Fields had... He got sacked 5 times.
Yep.
He ran 7 times. I think 6 of those were non... I think one of those was, a quarterback sweep. And then he fumbled on a pass. So you basically... They tried to throw. Oh God, I gotta do math now. They tried to throw 12 more times than what his stat line shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. They certainly in the first two games. Number one, I think the game one was due largely to the weather.
Yep.
Game two was due largely to the fact that they didn't want Justin wearing the Packers defense like a hat. So they didn't throw. They didn't throw a tremendous amount of passes. And last week, he only threw 17 passes, but I think we figured out there were 10 more. So I don't feel like it's a case of them not trusting him. I think that's a convenient. We're getting that narrative a lot from. I don't know that they don't have a terribly dynamic offense. In fact, one of the things I counted as progress this week was for the first time we actually got a couple of plays where you're like, oh shit, that guy's got to make that play for Justin.
Yeah.
Which was the first time this year that it showed up that he's a lot better than the guys he's throwing the ball to, which is almost all right, good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. When he puts it right on Dante Pettis, and it's a tough catch, but it's right there. It hits him in the hands. It's going to be a first down, and he just clanks it. You're like, okay, there you go. There's a good example of this. He's only got one decent wide receiver, and that guy's 4'8".
Right, right. Look, we've watched a lot of Bears quarterbacks in our lifetime. Bob Abilene isn't making those passes to Darnell Mooney down the field. You know, you see the talent that he has. And all I wanted, all I think a lot of people wanted, was this year is all about Justin's development. And this was the first game, this Giants game, where you could really, this is kind of the first game where we could really get a good evaluation about, how do they stack up against another opponent, because as you alluded to, the first game was played in a monsoon. You can't learn anything from that. Next game was played at Green Bay. Forget that. Next game is home against the Texans. Okay, that's the game. A game that the coaching staff is like, we got to win this one. Fine. This was kind of a game where you're like, all right, Giants, kind of a similar sort of team. New coach, just like us. We're on the road. Let's see what we can do. And it still seemed like a very, very – it did not seem like a coaching staff that had in its mind, we're going to try to develop, we're going to try to go to Justin's strengths. Now, they haven't helped him. They haven't surrounded him with great talent, certainly. But I'm just not sure what we're, whenever a team kicks 4 field goals, you're like, this just never works. It's just, you got to get touchdowns when you get that deep. You got to at least try it for it.
What? They've got Tavon Wesco. That's not a weapon. I forgot he was on the team. He caught that one pass. Oh yeah, that's the guy they got from the Jets. I mean, we do have to remember this is still a team that seven of these players were cut by other teams on the last cut down day and are now Bears.
Yeah.
Defensively, I thought they don't have that many like really good defensive players. One of them is Jalen Johnson, and he missed the second game in a row, and it was very noticeable because for all the how are the Bears falling for the bootleg every time
banana in the tailpipe.
If you notice on that, the side of the field that worked was they're looking for Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, but that was embarrassing how open those bootlegs were.
Yeah. I mean, part of it was the Bears, the Giants have Saquon is back to being a great running back.
Yes.
And he seems like a threat to break it every time he gets the ball. And he gets a little extra attention because of that. Then really what you need is somebody on that, whoever's supposed to be over there on that opposite side has to stay there. And we saw repeatedly Kyler like, oh, I'm going to go get the running back.
Yeah, right.
And now there's nobody over there. You're not even slowing the blockers down now. Now all of a sudden, everybody that gets over there is already behind. It's not all his fault, but it was whoever was over on that. A lot of times it was Kendall Vildor was on that side with him. And it's like, your linemen have to go down the line because it's a run play. They have to follow. The running back is going through the line.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be over there. And it wasn't over and over and over again.
This is what's worrisome to me about the Flus era. This is a defensive guy. If nothing else, we should have guys at least sort of in the right area. Now, maybe they're not talented enough to make the tackle, but they should at least be there. This is what we're supposed to get from a defensive coach. And we saw some pretty embarrassing stuff. Not to mention, what did they get? 260 yards rushing yesterday or something like that? What was the final tally? Hold on, let me look it up.
Yeah, it was a lot. It
was 262.
I do know how many yards the leading Giant receiver got.
How many?
It was 11.
Okay. But they didn't. But they didn't need him to get more.
Well, they only won by 8 points, though. I mean, it's not like. I mean, the Bears gave up 6 points in the second half. Still have not allowed a touchdown in the second half. So that's for good. All this, doom and gloom about this defense has got humiliated again. It's like, well, they gave up 20 points.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but
Giants ran the ball 44 times. 44 for 263. They threw 16 times for 82 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bears threw. Attempted 22 passes, so they probably really were trying to throw 32 passes.
Right.
At least.
Right. Right,
and total
right.
yards, the Giants ended up with 29 more total yards than the Bears did.
But here's the weird thing. Justin Fields actually had a better passer rating than Daniel Jones. I mean, it was almost identical. It was 76.7 to 76.1. But.
Well, he neither one of them threw a touchdown pass.
So,
no interceptions, no touchdown passes for either guy.
Yeah, well, Daniel Jones just ran into the end zone. He didn't need a.
Yeah, he ran. Well, Fields ran 7 times for 52 yards. Jones ran 6 times for 68.
Yeah, that's incredible. Daniel Jones, noted NFL rushing threat. Daniel Jones.
Let's see. He ran 9 times for 79 yards against the Cowboys the week before. It kind of is there. I mean, Dable has basically looked at it and said, "All right, you can't throw. So here's what we're gonna do. You can run around until you get hurt. Oh, made it to week 4. now what do we do?
Yeah, right."
So that was my issue with the Fields him running so much. It's simply, I don't want to see him get hit this many times playing for. It's not like okay, I need these extra 15 yards because we need this game because we're in the playoff hunt. It's like you're not. Like, how about this, Justin? We know you can run. We've seen it. You established that. Congratulations. We checked that box. See this box? It's got a check in it.
Yeah.
That's enough of that shit for now. Next year, if we're better, you can start running again. Don't need this. You roll out. You look for a guy, nobody there. I don't care if you just throw the ball. Just, hit somebody in the dick with it just for fun. Just amuse yourself. We're moving on.
Do you think this coaching staff is telling him that?
No, because he's running. He's getting himself lit up. That was
right.
And I thought the worst thing
he's
going
to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. I'm very worried.
I thought he got
him.
Hurt right before the half. He got when that ridiculous thing where they decided, we got booed last week.
Yeah.
So they got the ball at the end of the half. It's like, all right, you're only down, what was it, 14 to 10?
Yeah.
And halftime? So, 14-9.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah, Bears didn't score a touchdown. It's like, all right, you're in it. Let's go to halftime. We're going to regroup. And they were running, but he ended up running. He got hit on all three plays. And the one time he landed weird and his kneecap went straight into the ground. We don't need this.
Right. This is a tough guy, Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And he's getting hit. He had two late hits against them in the game. Now, fortunately, they were called, which is starting to happen more this year at least. But this man is getting hit a lot.
But you know what's going to happen? He's going to get through this whole year. He's going to take all this punishment. Next year, they're going to be better. He's going to get hurt. Oh, I think we finally got it all together. Look at this. This offense is he's out for the season? Oh, good. Because that was Jay, right? Remember when Jay broke his thumb trying to tackle a charger who intercepted the ball in the Bears? That was the end of Lovey. Bears missed the playoffs because of that, and Lovey got canned. That's how things go. I think we should all applaud Michael Badgley for his Cairo Santos impression. Made all four.
He did it.
Made all four of his field goals.
Yes, he was. You wouldn't have even known Cairo was missing based on his performance.
Well, I noticed. Trenton Gill kicked off. He did a pretty good job. So
yeah.
I think the Bears like to have Cairo out there on kickoff, so because he's an extra tackler.
He's just an athlete, that guy.
In fact, in the same tweet, I think it was Brad Biggs reported that Cody Whitehair is expected to be out for several weeks, and Cairo Santos is back. And I was like, oh, is he going to play guard? I think he could do it.
Well, if any kicker in the NFL could.
What do they list? I'm interested now. Cairo is maybe 5'6". He's a dainty little guy.
Yeah.
But he's a football player. So I want to see what they list him at, because it's going to be ridiculous. He's listed at 6'7". 275 pounds. Wait, Cairo Santos?
Framel Reyes.
Let's see here. 5'8", 175. So what's that translate to in real life? 5'6", 140?
Yeah, 5'6", 148, maybe.
Do you know where Cairo went to college? I didn't tell just now.
No, I have no idea.
Tulane. He was a Green Wave.
Green Wave, okay. Wow.
There's your Cairo Santos report for the week. Of course, we know he was this is his second stint with the Bears. He was a Bear in 2017, but he was hurt.
Yes.
And so he only kicked in two games. So then at the end of the season, Ryan Pace is like, all right, we got to get ourselves a dependable kicker. And they signed Cody Parkey.
And
had they simply kept Cairo Santos.
No, the whole history of the franchise might have been different.
Matt Nagy's probably still the coach this year. Because they're like, we won that playoff game against the Eagles. We can't fire him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad news in Pittsburgh for our good friend Mitch Trubisky.
Oof.
He made it 3.5 games as a starting quarterback.
Pittsburgh's like, what a difference between the franchises. Like, okay, they're not playing around. Like, Mitch, you suck. You started for how many years with the Bears? Okay, have a seat, pal.
Well, the Bears gave him 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And the Steelers gave him 3.5 games.
That's, if that doesn't encapsulate the difference between the franchises.
Put in tiny-handed little Kenny Pickett, who threw an interception on his first pass and his last pass, and then another pass there somewhere in between. And they still were like, oh, that's better. He's starting this week. No, that's better than Mitch. That's fine. Yeah. Go get him, Kenny. So Joe Davis did the game. This is funny. So I was watching Mets Braves on Fox on Saturday night. And I heard John Smoltz and thought, oh, well, it must be John Davis. John Davis. Joe Davis. Or John Davis. John Davis Garfield guy. Isn't that John Davis? You couldn't understand. He was just, you could just hear, you could hear the pencil. Like, right. John, you're going to have to talk. They can't actually see what you're drawing. No, it was Joe Davis. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're going to be doing this game. And then the announcer that was doing the game just would not shut up. He was just one of the, you could tell he was, and I'm like, I don't know who this is, but I guarantee you he's somebody's radio announcer. So I looked it up. There's a guy named Aaron Goldsmith, who is the radio announcer for the Mariners and fills in for Fox sometimes. Okay. And you could just tell because he was calling everything.
Right.
It's like, Aaron, the game is on television.
We could see the shit, Aaron.
We can see it. We don't need to tell us where every pitch is. You don't need to tell us that, the guy had to, shovel the ball to second base. We saw it. Just knock it off. So then I was thinking, because I really thought if I were Fox and this was the first year of my new playoff team, I would have them doing more games together. I'm like, Joe must be doing an NFL game. And lo and behold, he did our. Well, I guess it was technically an NFL game. Bears Giants. I don't know what it
is. Right.
And so when Velvet Jones muffed the punt.
Oh.
And I was looking for this for the column. In my mind, maybe I just imagine it would be a terrible thing to imagine. In my mind, I picture a scene from a movie. And I think it's Harvey Korman and Madeline Kahn. And
okay.
She has a fur thing. And he goes, nice muff. And I think I may have dreamt it. I looked for it. I looked for it for like 20 minutes.
Couldn't find it?
I tried all kinds of combinations. And some of the stuff that came up on my Google search. I need to apologize to Xfinity.
Yeah, they're gonna.
But
come
I wanted to put after the Velvet Jones Jr. I wanted to put nice muff. I thought it would be funny because he muffed a punt,
right?
And then a muff, of course, is a fur like a almost like a quarterback hand warmer.
Yeah, like
that women
similar.
Would like instead of wearing gloves, they would just stick their hands and just walk around. It would be like a little. It's like a fancy fur like a fur stole, except it's just a tube to put your hands in, and then it's something else. But anyway, so Velvet muffed the punt, and that was so frustrating for a lot of reasons. Like I wanted to see the exciting Bear 2-minute drive.
Didn't we all?
He, the punter, their little crazy Scottish punter for the Giants, nailed it. In fact, probably kicked it too far for their good.
Yeah.
Because as Velvet's going back, he's going to be able to return this and get some yards because the coverage hit wasn't going to be able to catch up to him right away. So he goes back. I'm sure he was under orders to fair catch. He should have been under orders to fair catch because the Bears didn't use their timeout the clock was running, and it was going to be pretty close if he tried to return it. You didn't want to get to the 2 minutes because then, we lose the 2-minute warning.
Right.
But he's not going to fair catch it now because he's going to catch it and he's going to get 50 yards probably, and it just rolls down his leg, and then he's going to fall on it, so it's not going to be that big a deal, and then he misses it, and then it's going to roll out of bounds, but it doesn't. And the Giants get the ball, and the game's over. But Joe Davis, they show a replay of that later, and he goes, the difference in the game is this play. It's like, Joe, man, you are an optimist. If you think that the only reason the Bears are down is because they didn't get that punt because they were going to run right down the field, score a touchdown, and go for two and make it.
Yeah, none of that's ever going to happen.
So, but I think if you don't like Moose and Joe, I think you're probably in luck. Because they're technically the number two Fox team, and I don't think the Bears are going to be getting the number two team much longer.
I would imagine that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to be at we are dangerously down into Chris Myers, Adam Archuleta territory.
Oh, yeah, and we
don't even know if that's who is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, I don't like these announcers. It's like, well, it's going to get worse.
No,
Believe it or not, it's going to get worse. I wonder if we know who they're going to get for the Vikings. Because we know they're getting Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels for the game after that.
Of course, that's right. Thursday nights, Amazon. Bears are tied for second most for sacks allowed, by the way.
Well, got
coming
it.
Across the at least you're, crawl. At least they're tied.
At least they're ranked at something.
Yeah. Top two in the league. That's pretty good.
Yeah, the noon games are Bears Vikings, Seahawks Saints.
Yeah.
Falcons Bucks. I'm just looking at the NFC ones. The 8:30 a.m. game, which is what? So that's Eastern. So 5:30 a.m. your time?
I'll be up and ready.
Getting up for Giants Packers. Saquon Barkley playing quarterback for an entire game. Yeah, I can't even guess who the Bears are getting. But it's not gonna be good.
No. Maybe it'll be Boog and Ryan Dempster.
Why not? Hey, on loan from our good friends. Like, hey. Oh, God. The Vikings were in the London game this week.
Yep.
And it ended on a Will Lutz double doink.
Yes, I saw that.
66-yard field goal attempt.
Damn.
That was long enough. Just the
had the distance.
Upright got in the way. It took a hard right, hit the crossbar, and bounced. It's a 50-50 shot then, but it bounced onto the field of play. No good. That would have forced overtime.
Right.
He had made a 65-yarder already in the game. I do worry about the exciting Bears defense being able to slow down a team that can actually run and pass. Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson could be problems with that. But
maybe they'll have a little London hangover or something.
Let's see what the experts think about Bears Vikings. I'm going to guess the Bears are favored by 3 touchdowns.
No, you're not going to guess. I'm going to say the Vikings by 6.5.
7.
7.
An even 7.
Hmm.
The Packers are favored by more against the Giants than the Vikings are against the Bears. Packers 7.5.
Okay.
The Kenny Pickett-led Steelers are going to Buffalo. I'm going to give this away. The Steelers under Mike Tomlin, actually, I think maybe ever. Well, I just got to be just under Mike Tomlin. Have never been 2 touchdown underdogs in a game.
Oh, my.
And they are 2 touchdown underdogs.
Wow.
Against the Bills.
Oh. Yikes.
So that's no good.
That's a lot of points for a line in the NFL.
So, yeah, the Bears, 7-point underdogs, the over-under set at 44. expecting the Vikings to score a lot of points, I guess. Because
the Vikings
Bears,
might get
Bears aren't going to be contributing a lot to that total.
No. Who you got?
Oh, I got the Vikings.
I got the Vikings. I don't like, you know, the thing about this whole season so far is like, I don't like the narrative that, you know, just Justin Fields, you know, the Justin Fields sucks narrative is we're hearing this more and more every week, it feels like. And look, he certainly hasn't been perfect, no question about it, but
well,
you know, we have a guy who could be the most talented quarterback that the Bears have had in a very long time, and I'm just getting a little worried about what this could do to his confidence.
Since Craig Krenzel?
Since it's
Will Fuhrer, maybe?
Yeah, we'd have to go back to
Rusty Lish.
That's who I was trying to think of. Rusty Lish. The redhead.
Yeah.
Right.
So Dan Weirderer, it just seems like a pain in the ass. Bears reporter for the Tribune, one of those guys who, you know, Mr. breaks down, he just crunches tape. He's always breaking down the tape. He knows all this. You don't know, you feeble-minded reader, you don't know what I know. Oh, I know. It's great.
Yeah.
During games, he's especially, fans. Although I will give him credit, he criticized Fields for something. It was a couple plays after the Fields, the long pass to Mooney, and people were piling on like, "You only said negative stuff. You didn't tweet anything nice about his pass." And I looked back two tweets before, and it was basically like outstanding throw by Justin Fields. It was a perfect throw, great catch by Mooney, blah blah. So he just, it's not like he's allergic to saying nice things about the Bears, but he this morning had a tweet thread that I just couldn't get through. It's like, buddy, you write for a newspaper. You can just maybe type this out and send this in as a column.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
When he reviewed the film today, he put a lot of the Bears' offensive struggles on Justin Fields.
Yeah, see, that's,
it was, you wouldn't believe all the stuff he was missing. Look at this. And then some asshole had a screen cap on the very first drive. Actually, it was the play, Fields, he had the nice pass to Mooney, and then I think on the next play he dropped back and he took off and he got another first down like right away, ran up the sidelines and out of bounds.
Right.
This guy has a screen cap of the great Trayvon Wesco, and he's open, and Fields is not looking at him. Fields is 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and Wesco is open because Wesco wasn't open before Fields took off. The guy governing Wesco is now chasing Justin Fields because he's crossed the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, see, like, if he throws it now, it's a penalty.
He wanted to say to the fan, he's like, he tried this against the Packers, remember?
Yeah.
Where he ran 5 yards past the line of scrimmage and then threw. He learned that you can't do that. Now, maybe you should learn that, too. We used to get a lot of this with Mitch, all the screen caps of guys. There's that famous picture against the some screen cap against the Packers of Trey Burton all by himself in the middle of the end zone. And Mitch, the shot is from behind. You see Mitch and you see Burton, and then you see Packers like on each, nobody within 10 yards of him.
Right, right.
And
you're
like, see, Mitch can't even make this throw. It's like, okay, well, it doesn't happen all the time. So don't just expect on every play you're going to be able to gotcha somebody with a screen grab. And I thought it was kind of sad that this guy was proving his point with this. It's like, I don't care if Wesco is that open. I don't throw it to him.
Yeah.
Just run. They're fine. We talked about it last week that it was not really concerning, but it was like, okay. He didn't play well against Texans. We watched it. He just didn't play very well against Texans. But it was the third game of the year. He played, I thought, markedly better against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are, it's like anything, I guess. There are some people that would just, they'll tell you he played great against the Texans. No, it was you don't understand. He was great.
Yeah.
And they're not going to change their mind. But there's more people than you would expect who are like, oh, he sucks.
Yeah, right, already. I don't get it.
Actually, this is a very This is a very Cub phenomenon. And maybe the White Sox fans do the same thing. I don't know. But Cub fans. Where they just decide that it's easier to cope if they give up hope on a player. Think about all the like Chris Bryant hate we put up with.
Right. Oh, there's tons of it, right?
Oh, he was terrible. He was never any good. Like, oh, yeah. So when he was Rookie of the Year and MVP back-to-back years. And
yeah, he wasn't good.
He basically helped, you know, he was a huge part of why he won the World Series, but he sucks.
Right.
They do the same thing with, like, oh, the worst example of it ever, and it was the 2018 Cubs, you know, where they ended up with 95 wins, but you know they're kind of limping home. The Brewers are catching them, and these fans could not jump off the fucking bandwagon hard enough or fast enough. It's almost like they feel like if they publicly get out early, then it won't hurt.
Yeah,
if it goes bad, and it's like, oh, if it turns around, well, I'm going to enjoy it.
Right,
and I kind of get the feeling they already have that attitude about Justin Fields, which is, I'm just going to get out now, and I'm going to tell everybody that he sucks. Because if he's good, nobody's going to call me on that shit. They're just going to be excited they got a good quarterback. And if he's bad, I already, you know, I took my emotional investment. I made a withdrawal of my emotional investment.
So it's a collective fan-based defense mechanism, essentially.
Which is awful. Sad.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, well, because because it can have a real world, it can act in a way affect Justin's performance if he's just surrounded by negativity and you suck and every article is about how much he sucks. It can absolutely affect his performance, and it's not warranted.
No, I mean, it's bad enough that he, you know, once a week he's got to meet with the media and he's got to talk to, you know, well, I'm sure David Huh never darkens the Hallis Hall walls, but. You got to put up with some of those idiots. That's bad enough. A good example here's where Cub fans, I noticed this about Cub fans. And, well, you're going to have a whole offseason of this, so people should brace themselves for this. If there's a trade rumor, then it's somewhat appealing on the Cub end, then they just decide it's going to happen. And if it doesn't, they are so upset. They just, you know, they get mad. They scream at anybody who like passed the rumor on. I have a good example of this.
Okay, yeah. What is it?
So it's going to sound very convoluted, but because I worked that one summer in the Brewers organization, very loose. I worked for the Blight Snappers. I didn't work for the Brewers, but people in the organization we got to know, and one of them was former Brewer player Randy Reddy, who then went to coach for the Padres. And when the Cubs were trying to get, remember, they kept trying to trade for Jake Peavy.
Yeah.
They tried over and over and over again. At the winter meetings one year, one of the snapper guys who was still working at baseball ran into Randy Reddy. And Randy was talking. He's like, hey, the guy was a Cub fan, but he knew he was a Cub fan. He's like, oh, you're going to be happy about this. He said, "Sounds like we're trading Peavy to the Cubs." And he's like, "Well, who are you guys getting back?" He's like, "I don't know. We're getting like Terrio and Jeff Samardzija," and he named off a couple of names. Well, this guy told me, like, he was all excited about it. He's like, "Hey, it sounds like it's going to happen." I talked to a guy with the Padres. I go, "Was it Randy Reddy?" He goes, "Well, yeah." He goes, "It's the only Padre I know." I know it's the only Padre you know.
Yeah.
So I put it out on Discipio, but as a rumor. I didn't know if this was going to happen.
Sure.
And then it didn't happen, and I got like hate mail from people. They were so pissed. And I'm like, buddy, I wrote it. This might happen. Not that it was going to happen.
It's your fault somehow.
Yeah. But I was just amazed to see, like, and that rumor came out other places too, and just how upset Cub fans got that it didn't happen. And it was like, how do you go through life with that emotionally fragile? I mean, I was against it because how could you get Ryan Terrio?
Yeah, right.
How could you possibly replace him?
Yeah.
So I get that vibe on certain things, and I'm getting it with Justin Fields, which is the swings. And I got to tell you, with all this love going on about our beloved Cubs and how this hot finish to the season is setting up for this huge offseason where they'll probably be prohibitive favorites in Vegas to win the World Series next year.
Yeah,
because of all the spending that the Ricketts now feel compelled to do.
Right.
That I do expect they're going to be active, and I expect they're going to improve the team. But they're not going to improve it to the level, I think, that some Cub fans think they're going to. You know, there's some Cub fans sitting there in their bedroom going, oh, we're going to have, I don't know, who's Ross going to play in right field? He's going to have Aaron Judge and Seiya. And then Shohei, is he just going to DH? What about Franmil? If we get Shohei, who's going to DH?
Yeah,
right. It's like, all right, you might want to temper your expectations a little bit. Because there are a lot of ways to improve the team. And I'm sure they're going to pursue some of them, but they're not going to pursue all of them. It's another thing. You expect you're only going to deal with this with like little kids when they first like get into sports, but there's a lot of creepy adults, and most of them are the ones who wear sweatpants and go to the Cub convention.
You're right.
Who don't understand? They can't fathom the idea that not every free agent wants to play for your favorite team.
Right. Right.
Like they just assume that it's like a shopping list. And the Cubs, everybody loves the Cubs. The Cubs want this guy and this guy and this guy, they're just going to sign him. And it's like, yeah, this guy and this guy might be like, fuck that, I don't want to play there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be for reasons you don't know. It could be like, I had an affair with somebody in Chicago, so no way am I moving to Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And my wife and that girlfriend are never going to be in the same city at the same time. I cannot go play for the Cubs.
I wonder if there's an element of Bear fans that, I wonder if in a way you have Justin Fields pitted against the coaching staff. We've alluded to this in previous podcasts, but you know, because I think a lot of people were high on Justin Fields when the Bears got him. I think a lot of people were excited. I think you and I are still among those people, but then, you know, when, you know, Pace comes or, Poles comes in and the Fluce comes in and Luke Getsy comes in. All we hear is how great this front office is and this coaching staff is, and you know, and there's really no critical analysis of this other than this podcast. As listeners here know,
this is the only place you can go where you can really find out what the hell's going on.
Right, but you hear this. Oh, well, these guys are all great. So if these guys are all great, and the quarterback isn't performing, well, then I guess it's the quarterback's fault. I'm not so sure that's the case. But I feel like this dynamic is happening somewhat with the fandom. Like they've been so brainwashed that, well, how could Fluce and Getsy, you know, get this, you know, how could they be at fault? They might be at fault because they're just, you know, a couple of schlubs who the Bears Society decided to hire and are not able to develop Justin Fields. That's a possibility. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know yet. And the, but like everybody else, the weekly nature of the podcast demands that we like make up our mind every week.
Right.
You know, last week it was like, oh Jesus, this could be going bad. And this week it's like, all right, well, it doesn't seem as much like it's, you know, like I'm more confident in Justin, even though the numbers don't look great. But felt better. It felt like he was in, as much as he could be, he was in command of what he was supposed to do.
For sure.
And we really haven't seen that, and that's a good sign. We haven't seen it this year. We saw it last year in stretches, like the game against Pittsburgh, and this was like the first time, and the numbers still weren't great. Where we felt like if there was a play there to be made, he would have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and that's good. The other thing is, that's the other, the nature of this is that, you know, now we're 4 weeks in, and you know, you've got a first-time play caller. I guarantee you there are calls. When he sits and looks at the film, he's like, what the fuck did I call that for?
Yeah, I would think. You would hope.
There are plays where Fields like, oof, I didn't see that. Or I shouldn't have done that. And then there's shots of the Fluce, who's like, I forgot to write that down on that little 3x5 card that I hold in front of my face, even though I have my entire play sheet shoved in my pants. Because I like the way it feels. you know, they're
tingles.
And you got a first-time... you got a first-time general manager who I'm sure is already looking at the roster like, what the fuck did I sign that guy
for? What was I thinking here? Right.
And really all you can go by is you can't see the same mistakes happen over and over and over again. That's the worst possible sign. Mm-hmm. Is like, oh God, they fucked this up again. And you know, the whole that's what we saw under Nagy.
Yeah.
Was after the honeymoon and the league figured out his offense about 10 weeks into his tenure. And he didn't mm-hmm. have a plan B. And he couldn't switch to anything else. And then we just saw the same shit happen over and over and over again. And you realize, okay, he's in over his head. That's mm-hmm. not going to work.
Right.
So when you're 4 weeks in, you know, all we can really say is that they have not knocked the socks off of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, they really weren't. I mean, the Packers kind of, it was like your older brother keeping you at arm's reach. You know,
yeah,
you're
right.
Swinging, they've got their hand on your forehead and your arms can't reach.
Right.
But they won the other two games and they were in this one at the end. So it's not like, I mean, we know it's like, we saw the Mark Trestman Bears.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we're down by 37 points at halftime. That actually happened once.
Right.
You know, so we haven't seen that at least. This is a team put together with an eye on next year being the year they take their step.
Mm-hmm.
They made probably the only decision they really could make, which was our salary cap is fucked up and the guy traded away all our draft picks.
Yeah.
So if we cut some salary this year, we have a shitload of money next year and we're going to make damn sure we keep all of our picks. And I'm sure there's going to be a veteran or two, but you don't get much. Somebody's going to get traded before the trade deadline in the NFL. Like Big Bob right. or somebody's going to get. They're going to have an extra pick or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, people, what are we watching this year for? It's like, well, I don't know. Because it's Sunday. And we got nothing. We're just used to
what
it.
What else are
you
going to do?
Ah, yeah, right. Game, I got to watch it. And you sit there and be like, what the fuck am I watching this for?
Yeah, it's terrible.
But the worst possible thing is you get later in the season, and it still looks – I don't know what it's going to look like because you know who's going to be still – who was it? It wasn't Moose. Somebody said one of the players was like walking and talking or whatever. It was a good sign. Oh, is he taking nourishment too? But if you get to the end of the – you get towards the end of the season and it just feels like this, that's a bad sign.
Yeah,
because you got to be somebody's got to make a leap. There's going to be a few players on this team who actually like, hey, that guy actually is pretty good. That's mm-hmm. the guy we're going to keep, and it can't just be the guys we already know.
Right.
You know, if at the end of the year you're like, you know who's good, Roquan.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, all right, I don't think we accomplished much.
No, didn't learn a whole lot.
No, but it's going to be, you know who's really good, Roquan and Tavon Wesco. That guy, I had no idea how good that guy is. He's there like you a go. Young Anthony. He's like an old Anthony Gonzalez.
That's the dream scenario right there.
Yep. Yeah, so like one of the things I still am a little troubled with Justin, and I do think it handicaps the offense, is he did it again this week where they try to set up like an easy pass for him early in the game and he doesn't throw it anywhere near the guy.
Yeah,
it's like, what are you, Steve Sachs? Is Chuck Knoblauch? Does he have the yips?
Got the yips.
But we know he doesn't because they ran a million screen plays after that, and he actually got the ball where it was supposed to. But it was like, oh no, we're gonna go through this again. It's like, here's a 4-yard pass. Oh, he threw it at the guy's feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was a. I mean, I don't know how they rotate their running backs, but I thought it was odd that the first possession of the second half, Treston Ebner was in for the first two plays, and then he was out, and Khalil Herbert was in for third down. Maybe Khalil was pooping. Maybe he wasn't back yet.
That could have been it. Could have been it.
All right, Khalil, he's in the shitter. Ah, crap. That's what he's doing.
Right. I believe it is crap, yes.
So, I don't know. I don't remember this happening all the time. The writers are very quick to tweet out pictures of the snap... the total snaps played by every player. Have you noticed that this year? That's like a big deal. I think it's because of Tevin Jenkins. They're like tracking how many snaps, but they keep, it's like, that's great. I mean, the first week, the jarring thing was how few, or no, it was the Packer game, was how few plays they ran. It was like 41 offensive plays. You're like, oh, that's not good. It's like, okay, guys, I don't need to see this.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's an odd investment in Tevin Jenkins with the media.
That seems to be the case. Yeah, I'm not sure why.
I mean, I want him to be good. It would certainly be useful if a second round draft pick wasn't a complete turd.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
But they're like, I can't believe they're playing the Lucas Patrick over him. It's like, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. You go in there, you break that film down. Yeah. And I want to see, publish your grades. I want to see your grades. And then we'll talk.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we talked a lot more about the Bears Giants than they deserved.
Yeah, we sure did. We'll rectify that next week with a 10-minute podcast about the Bears Vikings.
I've never seen a team give up 100 points before. Bears Vikings Sunday noon, 10 Pacific. So what do you so you like having brunch when you watch the Bear games out there? What do you
Great. So great. Yeah, you're up, you know, by 1 o'clock, you're done. You got your whole Sunday.
Well, I know what that's like, because I really do. I'll watch, but I'm not. It's the Packers. So I don't really give a shit. I do like the London games, because it's nice to have. You basically have football then from out here from 8:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. It just never ends. It just goes.
It's great. Yeah, that's great. You got the whole, you're done by one. You got a whole, it's a beautiful day. You got the whole day. I like it.
I won a bet this week because someone pointed out that the Justin Fields over-under on total passing yards was the lowest quarterback total they'd ever seen. It was 144.5, so I bet the over. And he was over that in the third quarter, although I worried that, you know, like, uh-oh. How great would it have been, so, right, on the last play that the Bears lost, like, 50 yards, and they all counted against his passing.
Yeah, right.
Because I looked, I believe, with all the laterals, I believe he ended up, he got credited for 8 passing yards on that play.
So the stupidest play I've ever seen.
He threw a pass, then it got back. The successful lateral, the first one, would have counted on his yardage. But then once they determined there was a fumble, then the passing part of the play ends. Now it's just like it's basically a fumble. It's like if they had run it for a touchdown, it would have been like an 8-yard pass and a 60-yard fumble return for something. All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Well, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Many of us have herpes.
I just wanted this to be over.